Next story, my whistle needs some wetting, so we're going to go back and give the Herradura another shot. Remember, I told you, first time I did this little shot of the Herradura, I had had the Dentine Cool Ice Vanilla Sugarless something something. So, but I've had two shots since the Herradura, so see if it tastes any different this time. Happy Cinco de Mayo! You know, it's very good. It's like so smooth that it's like suspicious. Now, the Don Eduardo was a little bitey, and that made me a little suspicious, too. A lot of suspicion with these tequilas. Lots of suspicion. But really, the only way you can try some tequila, you get your bottle of Chinaco, you get something you're familiar with, do a little sip of the Chinaco, you do a little sip of the Herradura, and you go, And you have to rub your chin. You go, You can't see this. We'll get the Bart cam up someday, but you got to rub your chin. You go, Comparing the Herradura to the Chinaco, and you rub your chin. Then you have your friendly conversation with your folks, or as I'm having with you. And then next you try the Don Eduardo alongside the Chinaco. And you rub your chin, you go, and you compare the two. See, that the comparison, that's the hoot. Okay. Story number four, which is similar, or as I say in Oklahoma, similar to story number three. Utah court upholds polygamy ban. The Utah Supreme Court upheld the 2003 bigamy conviction of former cop Rodney Holm, ruling that the state law banning polygamy is constitutional. No, wait. Utah has a law banning polygamy. Oh, get out of here. Oh, please. Bart's law number one, we love to lie to ourselves. Let's all get together in Utah. We're going to pass legislation. You can only have but one wife. One wife? What are you from, New York City? How am I supposed to get by on one wife? You know, today is whatever, probably the 17th, 18th, somewhere in that range. Lately, they've been doing this immigration thing. What's his name? Anderson Cooper on CNN. I've been staying up late a lot. 2, 3 in the morning, Anderson Cooper repeat comes on. And he'd introduce these segments where these people, I wouldn't do it, but these people that drive around in Arizona and Utah, they have these polygamy towns. See, I didn't know about this. There are some towns that are all polygamous. There's like 6,000 or 8,000 people in a town. And most of them told them, you know, GFY, we're not talking to you. And, oh, some of it was very soprano. They had, he talked to some people where this guy, it might be the guy who's on the run. I don't know if that's the story I was just reading. Don't have time to catch up with everything. Don't care. But there's some guy who's on the run, and they said he makes a couple of million a month, or maybe like 8 or 10 million a month. And he does that by, he's got this, it's like a Jim Jones deal, or, you know, those crazy people where you, Vern Koresh kind of stuff. It's where these people sign up and they go work construction in the hot sun. And not only are they working in the construction in the hot sun, but they're working for free. And not only are they working into construction in the hot sun for free in Arizona and Utah, but on top of that, they wear clothes from their head to their toe. They wear a hat. They wear a high-collar shirt, not like a work shirt, but like a, yeah, like a work shirt. Long sleeve and gloves and then long pants. I mean, you can barely see. And we're talking about dudes here. It's not like we're in Saudi Arabia and the women have to cover up. No, these are dudes in Utah and Arizona. And he went and talked to these people, and they said, hey, dude, are you part of this? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. Well, hey, I got a question. What the hell's wrong with you? You work for free, and you give your wife to this guy over here, and then you work for free, and every Friday when your paycheck comes, instead of you getting any of it, you give it all to this guy who's screwing your wife. It sounds like a hell of a gig if you can get it. I mean, to be the top dog. So then Anderson Cooper has these people, they go in and they talk to these, and we're talking about not the most attractive people, you know, it's not like these are playmates. You know, like Hefner sitting around with his bevy of 6 or 8 playmates, that's one thing. That's like A, we're talking about B here. We're talking about some old guys about 60, 65, and he's got 3, 4 wives that are in their 50s and 60s. Now, you know, me being a male pig, what was that, Bart's rule, what, 18, 19, all men are pigs? If I'm going to have a bunch of wives, like a baseball farm club system, I want to get some young talent, teach them the proper way to play the game. But no, just kidding. I would never two-time Mrs. Bart unless I was in a religion where you had to. You know me. I'm a stickler for the rules. But anyway, in Utah, it's weird how they do this. They showed generations of pictures, and it's so spooky because you know how if you go over to someone's house and you look at over the mantle or whatever, and there's a picture, you know, mom and dad, and there's a picture of grandma and grandpa, and this and that, and there's like a family picture where there's 8 or 10 of them there. But when these houses in Utah and Arizona, when you go in there, there's like dad and there's like 6 women. And you're going, listen, what's with that? And they go, oh, that's dad and his wives. You're going, look. And then behind them is a picture of grandpa and his wives. And then there's, you know, great-grandpa and his wives. And it's like, whoa. Just sounds so dumb. You know, if the shoe was on the other foot, this wouldn't last for a second. Poor John Lennon, woman is the nigger of the world. I don't know how they're able to talk the women into this, but, you know, it would work the other way. About the queen bee has 8 or 10 husbands. No, that ain't going to work for a second. Not even for a second, you know, because men run everything. And the idea that one man, one woman, I can live with that. That's what I got now, and it works really damn good, I'll tell you. But if we had, I mean, Koresh forbid, I was born into religion, where you had to have a bunch of wives. Oh, that'd be awful. But these guys, you know, these Mormons or whatever they're called, they just got this whole bunch of wives. So they're talking to one of these wives, and they said, lady, how many kids you got? And she says, 35. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, lady. And he said, how many of them are yours? And she said, well, just 16 or so. But she has 19 with their other wives. Or, you know what I mean? She's, I think they have wife number one, wife number two, and three. And, you know, I guess, I don't know, wife number one gets the car, and wife number two gets to borrow it on weekends. I don't know how it works. But it just seems like a really nutty system. But, you know, it would work the other way around. Okay. Religion is the biggest cracker crocker in the whole world. But you would think we live in this country where religion allegedly, you know, okay, if that's your religion, that's okay. Well, if we're going to honor religion, if we're going to respect other religions, these Utah people ought to be able to have as many wives. Then, trust me, these women, from what I can tell, from what I saw in these interviews, they're not coerced. They're happy to be there. They asked this lady, how many wives does your husband have? And she said, like 4. And they said, what if he wanted another wife? And she said, oh, I didn't. Oh, that'd be great. And also, I don't know. I don't know if the husband bothers, unquote, the women equally. I mean, you kind of figure law of supply and demand and Bart's Law 1718, whatever it is, all men are pigs. You kind of figure the younger, slender one's going to be bothered the most. But I just got that general impression coming off this lady that she was probably in her early 50s. And you know, what if he was to take a young honey? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sign up for that. I don't think mom number one cared to be bothered by dad a whole lot. But it is just a really odd situation. But, hey, not for me to judge. You know what I mean? The bad part, the spookiest part about this whole deal is they don't allow, just like the Republicans, they don't allow the children to have any kind of output from anywhere else. They don't want the children to hear what the other children are hearing. You know, these kids, they don't know who Britney Spears is. Not that you have to, but they don't have television. They don't have radios. They don't have internet. God forbid internet. But they're kept in this jail, this mental jail, to where their minds aren't free to open, you know, their eyes and explore and look around. They're born in this little town and wherever it is. And apparently there's several of these towns. Apparently, you know, wild guess, you know, maybe in Salt Lake, there's just 1,000 or 2 of these people. But you get to these smaller towns, and they said this little town I'd never heard of, I think I'd driven through it. We're talking about the Arizona-Utah border, and that's where, oh, I remember it was 02 because we had the Bart Fest West out in Las Vegas, and I did an interview with Mike Malloy on his radio show, and all this is kind of just because I remember we were in this little funny hotel on the border of the Arizona-Utah, you know, right there by the, what's it called, the Escalade Staircase National Monument, something that Clinton made a national monument, and that bastard Bush, the minute he got in there, he said, fuck that, there might be some oil in there. So he stripped it of its national monument status, and they moved the rigs in there, and they just start pumping that oil. If you've ever seen this, it is just gorgeous. There's these mountains are maybe, oh, almost a, boy, there's no way I can describe it, but they're red. They're red mountains, and they're just carved out funny. It doesn't look, it's not like a mountain peak like you'd see from afar, the Rocky Mountain Range, like the Tetons, whatever. These are giant scoops. It looks like you're at an ice cream parlor, and the guy, you know, grabbed a scoop of ice cream, and then about 2 inches to the right, he grabbed a scoop, and 2 inches to the right, he grabbed a scoop. So you've got these sprocket-looking deals, and it goes for 50 miles, and they're red, and it's just goddamn spectacular. Anyway, really nice, beautiful part of the country, or it was until Bush started drilling. But it's a spooky part of town, or a spooky part of the country, and I'm all for a man's right to have his private religion and that stuff, and I'm all for as many wives as he wants to, you know. Boy, if he can trick your wife into letting you have two or three other wives, more power to you. But the worst thing, you can't put these kids' brains in jail. You just can't do that. That's what's screwing things up. If these kids, you know, say the kid turns 17, 18, you send him off to college, he goes to L.A. or New York or Salt Lake City, ooh, the big city, and he sees what the world is like. Don't the, think the Amish do that, don't they? The Amish, you grow up with this no machines and no electricity and all that stuff. You can't have a car. And I think I saw this on X-Files. My extent of knowledge comes from TV and comic books, but I think on the X-Files, they said they had this deal where you, when you hit like whatever, 18, they send you out into the world for a year and you see what the rest of the world's like. And then if you come back, then they got you because, you know, they kind of, I guess, pre-program you to reject what's out there. Because, I mean, seriously, between me and you, if you grow up with no machines and all the women are fully dressed all the time, by fully dressed, I mean fully dressed, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in New York City, you're at Scores or something, and, you know, you're doing tequila shots and lines of cocaine off some hookers, you know, it'd be a little tough to go back to the farm, back to the horse and buggy. But that's just me. Maybe it's just me. Okay, but anyway, that was story number four. Freedom of religion. Same for the Indians and their peyotes and stuff. That ought to be legal. I mean, if it's... Now, hey, Oklahoma snake handling, flag. You do not hand a goddamn rattlesnake to a three-year-old. You don't hand a rattlesnake to, you know, maybe that crikey guy from Australia. If he wants to handle a rattlesnake, fine. Get his damn kid out of the picture. You remember the big controversy a year and a half ago? He held his baby in his hands. I mean, baby, like maybe 6 months old baby, in his hands while he's feeding the alligator. And those alligators can be fast. You wouldn't believe how fast, maybe you can. Elevators, alligators can move damn fast. Same for a grizzly bear. We saw a film on TV. It was about Yosemite. There's a grizzly bear standing next to a car. And in less than a second, less than a half or a fifth of a second, the bear was in the car. You didn't even see him. I wouldn't want to play this guy in foosball. I wouldn't want to get in a slap fight with this grizzly bear because he was just way faster than I, you know. You figure a little puppy dog could zoom, you know. My cats can jump pretty well. They can jump. They can be here and boom, now they're there. But you wouldn't figure like a 1,200-pound grizzly bear could just boom, be some other part of the room or, you know, be 10 feet down the road in less than a second. Spooky stuff. But when it comes to snake handling, when it comes to putting your little kid's mind in a prison, that's bad. We can't. You want to have some wives? Fine. You want to eat some peyote? Fine. But no. But you got to ease up on the rattlesnakes. Got to ease up on the putting the kid's mind in prison. Other than that, freedom of religion. And also, you can't get into this. Part of the deal with these Mormons, now, got to dial it back a little bit here. Part of the deal with the Mormons is they say, you know, they got this child bride thing. Now, see, I can go kind of both ways with that. In the old days, they say, it would be my wild guess, that when a young girl started menstruating, that was God telling them she's of marrying age. Because, you know, if 4, 5, 6, 7 people head out from whatever, Pittsburgh, and they head out to the west. You've seen these, you know, the Centennial miniseries, the Into the West miniseries. If you're going to take a wagon and go head into the west, and, you know, chop down trees and build a house and dig a well and make your fortune on the land, you know, kind of stuff. There is some logic behind we need people. We need people to plant crops, to pick crops, to hunt, to build, to clear. You know, we need people. And the only way you can make people is to put this thing in that thing and, you know, and now you got more people. So it kind of makes sense. And back then, let's say life expectancy was, let's say, 50, because they didn't have doctors in. They didn't know about cholesterol. They didn't know about stress. They didn't know about blocked arteries. They didn't know about a whole lot of things. So when you were, you know, in your 40s and you worked too hard, you had a heart attack, you die. So fine, you can't wait around too long. So, okay, bottom line, I can see the young girl thing, but in today's society, I don't see it as much. I can see it. If they're playing by the old rules, I can understand where they're coming from with a guy having a 14 or 15, 16-year-old bride. It's not quite legal in today's terms, but hey, you're either going to respect the other man's religion or you're not. Christ, who are the Catholics to say? They believe in a virgin mother, and the dead guy woke up. I mean, come on. If we're going to believe in crazy shit, Muhammad Atta thought he was going to get to 72 virgins. Who's to say that's crazy? What religion do you have, and you, by being you the listener, what religion do you have that's sane when you compared it to Muhammad Atta's religion? Oh, please. Granted, Catholics don't get any virgins when they die, but nothing ever goes our way. We don't get the multiple wives. We don't get the 72 virgins. Nothing ever goes our way. Okay, one more story to go. Checking out our old buddy. Happy Cinco de Mayo! Man reported missing from cruise ship. Seems like there's been a bunch of this lately. Well, maybe not a bunch, but one or two a year is more. I've never been on a cruise. I'd like to go on a cruise someday. Time and financial considerations permitted. But, you know, it would be pretty easy. Don't know. Hopefully cruise ships are put together better than, say, the Luxor Casino in Las Vegas. Because the Luxor Casino, it's plenty fine put together. But the Luxor is a giant hollow pyramid. And giant and hollow are two words that you have to respect in that sentence. Let's say it's 40 stories tall. If you're on the 35th floor and you're walking down the hallway, it is scary. It is damn scary. And the wall next to you is probably 50 or 55 inches high. I mean, you can't just accidentally fall over the wall if you, you know, have a twitch in your knee. You're not going to just be thrown over the wall. But then again, if you were struggling with someone, you know, I pity the 10-year-old gives me a problem on the 35th floor of the Luxor, because if he pisses me off, you know what I'm saying? Same thing on a cruise ship. If you're on a cruise ship, oh, who was it? My accountant was telling me his name is like Smith or something, but he said he went on a cruise to the fjords in Norway, and he said he met this really nice couple. They were from somewhere, Jordan or some hand job, sorry, but some religiously, potentially religiously insane country. They were from Yemen or somewhere. Anyway, and they said they were just the damn nicest people you ever met, ever, ever. And they kind of, as the two couples kind of got along real good. And after a while, the guy said, dude, what's your name? And this guy that does my taxes, for a joke, he said, it's Goldstein. And he said, these people looked at him like, you bastard, you must die. And he said, no, just kidding, it's Smith. I mean, this guy's really white looking. He's white, like, anyway, whiter than white. His last name should be White. But he said, no, I'm just kidding. My last name's not Goldstein. It's Smith or something. I was just funning with you. He said, ah, ha, ha. But the idea that you could be on a ship, and if you're an Israeli, and, you know, your God says, if you see a guy who believes in a different book, you have to kill him, because that's what religion does, because it's so well thought out. All I'm getting at is, if you're on a boat and someone gives you a bad time, hey, you throw his ass overboard. What's he going to do? Yell, oh, come back, get me? I mean, Christ, by the time you hit the water, you're, what, 60 feet from, and I've never been on a big boat, well, except for the Poker Fest Palm Beach. We went 10 miles out, but I'm just saying, on a boat, I imagine it's not that hard to throw someone overboard. If you're a linebacker and you see some Pat Benatar-sized girl and say, hey, honey, how about me and you? And she says, no, get away from me. You say, oh, reject me, huh? You throw her overboard. I mean, I can see it happening. Anyway, so it happens too often for my taste, but here's what the story says. The Coast Guard launched a ship. No, they didn't. The Coast Guard launched a The Coast Guard launched a search for an Ohio man reported missing from a cruise ship that left Florida for the Bahamas. Daniel D. Piero, 21, was reported missing at 11 a.m. Monday, Royal Caribbean International spokesman Michael Sheehan said. No release in the vicinity, I'm sure. The Coast Guard received the man overboard report around 7 p.m. But he was reported missing at 11 a.m. Are you kidding? So they found out this guy was missing at 11 a.m., and they only waited 9 hours to notify the Coast Guard. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't have any trouble treading water for 9 hours in a mad effing panic all by myself out in the middle of the damn Atlantic Ocean. I mean, the only good news is the water between Florida and the Bahamas is not very cold. I mean, it's not quite the Titanic, but geez, what is that like? What is it like to be bobbing in the ocean when you see the damn ship getting smaller and smaller, and now it's over the horizon? It's like, oh, fuck, I'm here in the damn water. I'm treading water, and oh, dun, 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 dun. You see a fin. It's like, oh, Jesus, take me now, God, take me now. But this guy's only been in the water treading for 9 hours before they notify the Coast Guard. Now, why did the Royal Caribbean International people, why did they wait 9 hours to notify the Coast Guard that this poor bastard went overboard? You know why they waited 9 hours? Here we go. Royal Caribbean waited to alert the Coast Guard because it wanted to make sure the missing passenger was not on board and not on the island where the ship had docked Monday, Sheehan said. Oh, so that's the reason why you let the guy tread water for 9 hours before you notify anybody. Oh, that's, now we've identified the reason why you let the guy tread water for 9 hours. Now, don't get me wrong, I could do it. If you think about it for a second, now I don't have a lot of experience with the ocean, but if it's a lake or a swimming pool or whatever, I always told Mrs. Bart, if they find my ass dead in water, I was murdered, because I can't die in water. You can't sink in water. Again, the Mississippi, maybe. You got your torrents to deal with in the ocean. I don't know about, you know, that, but water, if you hold your breath, you can't sink. If there's a gold nugget on the bottom of the swimming pool, the reason it's hard to get to is because the air won't let you get there. There's gold on the bottom of the swim pool. I mean, say it's a 20-foot swim pool. That gold's staying there. Now, if it's 8 feet, maybe I get to it, but gold at 20 feet down on the floor? No, it's hard to do, because you, if you're going underwater, you're going to take a deep breath. And then you take a deep breath, you try to go underwater, boop, you pop back up. So the whole thing, if you ever find yourself in the water, think back to Bark Up Radio Show 93, this probably is. If you just don't panic, you're not going to die, because it's really hard to sink when your lungs are full of air. So anyway, this poor bastard, I guess he's dead. But the idea, Daniel DiPiero, 21, he thought he'd take a cruise in the Royal Caribbean, and only 9 hours after he went overboard, somebody thought, oh, I know, let's notify somebody. Jesus Christ. Anyway, there's one little page out of the radio. We'll close it up with one. Oh, mini shot. Make their darn Eduardo off wrestling with this bastard yet. After prom night, it's not as tight. Bite, bite, bite. You know, sometimes the bite has character. Like I say, my problem with the Herradura a while ago, if it's too smooth, I mean, you want your tequila to be smooth, and before this broadcast is over, we're going to get into the really good Chinaco. The $300 Chinaco. But you want it to be smooth, but if it's smooth, I mean, if it tastes like grape juice, well, then you can just turn up 30 ounces and glue, glue, glue. You know, that's not how you can't appreciate fine liquor. You can't appreciate fine tequila spirits, the fine agave squeezings by chug, 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 chug. You got to do it in little, you got to appreciate it. You can't be diving into it. Okay. Last one here. New Jersey just says no to pumping gas. I think, my wild guess, I think there are two places where one has to wait for the attendant to pump gas. I think one of them's Oregon. I think one of them's New Jersey. And the only time I've been in New York, we flew to New Jersey, and Christian and Ray picked us up in a car and drove us into town. And it's weird because in Jersey, you can't pump your own gas. Illegal, flag, can't pump your own gas. You criminal. How dare you? What are you trying to do? But in the other 48 states, if you don't pump your own gas, you're out of gas. But this lady was talking about how it's nice not to have to pump your own gas because the fumes and the et cetera, you know, you can sit in your car and do your makeup, or you can finish your cheeseburger while some other schmuck does the pumping. I understand that, and I can see where the ladies might appreciate that. But on the other hand, if you're late, you know, you got to be somewhere. And if you're late, it's your job or it's your kid or, you know, you got some problem. You've been waiting 60 days to get to the dentist to fix that damn tooth. And no, now you're out of gas. You got to stop for gas, you know. And having to wait on some other guy then, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. But it seems to me an option would be a good thing to do. But, yeah, we, that reminds me, I don't think I had the radio show back then. No, I didn't. It was 202. But when we went to Oregon, no, it was 2001. We went to Oregon in 2001. And it was, oh, I wonder if I had it written down, but I went into pay. I got like gas and a Coke or something, and the bill came to like, say, $8.51, and I gave the lady like a $10 bill and a penny, and she looked at me like, what are you trying to pull? And it's like, lady, come on, do the math. If you want to sit there and count out 49 cents, you know, and turn it to a big hassle. But I'm just saying there are times when you'd rather do your own. And there's times you'd rather sit back and let the other guy do it, but it seems to me a little odd to have a law. I mean, come on. Do these gas pumpers that go to gas pumping school? Something else. The other day, I'm getting gas, and I noticed it was a hot day. Oh, there we go. Thanks, God, for the heat now. It was hot all winter. Like 2 days this year, it got cool. We got a little fake fireplace that the kiddies like. You know, they love a little fake fireplace because it's warm. You know how cats are. But it never got cold enough to turn on the damn fireplace. The cat sitting there by the fireplace every morning, meow. It's like, sorry, it's 85 again. It's Christmas, it's 85. Can't turn on the heat. Sorry, cats. But anyway, really hot day. I'm putting gas in the Bartmobile. And by the time you're done pumping the gas, your hand is really cold because the gas is really cold. I mean, not really cold. It comes out, maybe it's, I guess 50 degrees or something, and it's 90 outside, and it's 50 in there, so it feels real cold in your hand. And they tell you, be sure to fill up in the morning and the evening when it's not so hot. And I'm thinking, well, what the hell? It's 50 underground. Underground doesn't know what time of day it is. The pump above ground might, but what's it got to do with how is getting gas early or late in the day going to help with some ozone problem because of the temperature? Doesn't make any sense, but hell, what does? This bit's gone on too long. Better close it out. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Dr. Fields, at the time of the incident, Mr. Crane was in the middle of a therapy session with you. Am I correct?
Denny Crane doesn't even believe in therapy. He comes out of boredom. He likes to hear himself talk.
Which is the cause of great frustration for you.
Yes. Is when he's not endlessly repeating his name, he's full of this self-serving blather. If I have to hear him go on one more time about Mad Cow.
This time he was a little less boring. He pulled a gun.
Yes, well, the gun. If I had a nickel for every time he did that.
Once Mr. Crane produced his weapon, you drew yours. And you told him if he didn't shoot you, you'd shoot him. Did you not say that, sir?
Obviously. You know that I did.
You, in fact, wanted him to shoot you so you wouldn't have to shoot yourself and your family could collect the life insurance to pay for your son's Ivy League education.
Well, it certainly sounds like you were there.
And, in fact, you gave him to the count of three, didn't you? Shoot you by the count of three or you'd kill him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you counted it off. One, two,
and three. Don't anybody leave this room.
What is this jibber-jabber?
Shut up!
That wouldn't be jibber-jabber, Your Honor. That's a gun.
Anybody leaves this room, and I will shoot Mr. Shore.
If I might object to that.
How did you get in with that?
My brother is a lawyer, and I came in the back door with his bar card.
I guess the question, Dr. Fields, is why?
Why? Because all my life, I sat in that chair. That's why. Listening. to other people who had lives far more grander than mine, while I just sat tucked away in my office, leading no life at all, vicariously coaching other people, watching them get rich, like this nutcase here. And I couldn't stand it anymore. I did crack. I wasn't gonna just stand around being some sort of impotent little spectator to my own life. And I'm sick of any society that glamorizes the eccentrics and the psychopaths. You stand belittled now, Danny. Why don't I just shoot your best friend here? Why not? I mean, he's your real therapist. He's the one you tell your secrets to. Why don't I just shoot him?
Dr. Fields, please put the gun down.
I didn't shoot before, Danny, but I will this time. I really will.
Sidney, I took you out once. Don't make me do it again.
With what?
This.
You said you'd never so much as look at a gun again.
I never said I wouldn't shoot.
Time now for a little segment we've put together entitled Great Moments in Presidential Speeches. Here we go.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
But as specifically about our position on prostitution, I'm going to have to talk to the secretary about it. Yeah.
In 2000, when you overwhelmingly made the decision to elect me as your 43rd president, I knew the road ahead would be difficult. We have accomplished so much, yet challenges lie ahead. In the last 6 years, we have been able to stop global warming. No one could have predicted the negative results of this. Glaciers that once were melting are now on the attack. As you know, these renegade glaciers have already captured parts of Upper Michigan and Northern Maine, but I assure you, we will not let the glaciers win. Right now, in the second week of May 2006, we are facing perhaps the worst gas crisis in history. We have way too much gasoline. Gas is down to 19 cents a gallon, and the oil companies are hurting. I know that I am partly to blame by insisting that cars run on trash. I am therefore proposing a federal bailout to our oil companies because, hey, if it were the other way around, you know the oil companies would help us. And on a positive note, we worked hard to save welfare, fix Social Security, and, of course, provide the free universal health care we all enjoy today. But all this came at a high cost. As I speak, the gigantic national budget surplus is down to a perilously low $11 trillion. And don't get any ideas. That money is staying in the very successful lockbox. We're not touching it. Of course, we could give economic aid to China or lend money to the Saudis again. But right now, we're already so loved by everyone in the world that American tourists can't even go over to Europe anymore without getting hugged. There are some of you who would like to spend our money on some made-up war. To you, I say, what part of lockbox don't you understand? What if there's a hurricane or a tornado? Unlikely, I know, because of the anti-hurricane and tornado machine I was instrumental in helping to develop. But what if? What if the scientists are right and one of those giant glaciers hits Boston? That's why we have the lockbox. As for immigration, solving that came at a heavy cost, and I personally regret the loss of California. However, the new Mexifornian economy is strong, and El Presidente Schwarzenegger is doing a great job. There have been some setbacks. Unfortunately, the confirmation process for Supreme Court Justice Michael Moore was bitter and divisive. However, I could not be more proud of how the House and Senate pulled together to confirm the nomination of Chief Justice George Clooney. Baseball, our national pastime, still lies under the shadow of steroid accusations. But I have faith in Baseball Commissioner George W. Bush when he says, we will find the steroid users if we have to tap every phone in America. In 2001, when I came into office, our national security was the most important issue. The threat of terrorism was real. Who knew that 6 years later, Afghanistan would be the most popular spring break destination, or that Six Flags Tehran is the fastest growing amusement park in the Middle East? And the scariest thing we Americans have to fear is live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Now, a startling security breach. A White House document containing sensitive information about President Bush's trip to Florida was found by a sanitation worker on a street in Washington, D.C. Kim Dean reports.
This White House document giving sensitive details of the president's visit to Florida was found, incredibly, by a garbage man on a street in Washington, D.C. The 20-page document has the presidential seal on the cover. It's a minute-by-minute schedule of the president, flight times of Air Force One, vehicle assignments, and exact details of the presidential arrival and departure times. The document even reveals which military attaché carries the so-called nuclear football, the secret codes used by the president in the event of a nuclear attack. We showed the document to security expert Bo Deedle.
Someone's dropping the ball on that. This information should not be privy to anybody.
The document was found in the trash by sanitation worker Randy Hopkins, a former prison inmate. It was lying among the trash on the street in a grim industrial section of D.C. He took it to Washington's WUSA TV.
I just wouldn't be able to live with it if it would have gotten to the wrong hands.
WUSA TV posted the document on its website with the sensitive portions removed.
Security means you don't let everyone know about it. That's what security is all about.
Whoever is responsible for the security leak, there's no question of its danger in the wrong hands.
Your hair is sugar, girls. Damn, you've got some wicked style.